Words for Life today is by Pastor Rob Buckingham of Bayside Church in Cheltenham, here in the southern suburbs of Melbourne.
I want to share with you, just for the next few minutes, my Christmas message for 2019. As you just heard, the theme poem and song for the night, The Light of the World. And so I want to share with you, just for a few minutes, about that concept of light and Jesus, the light of the world. If you read the story of Christmas in the Bible, especially in Matthew and Luke, there's a lot of references toward light. And I'm going to read one of those to you. This is Zechariah's song. He was Jesus' uncle and the father of John the Baptist. And he wrote this song or sang this song. It's recorded in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1. And just a few verses from that song, talking about Jesus, the birth of Jesus, Messiah. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, by which the dawn will visit us from on high. And he's using this poetic license here, remembering that it's a song, and he's talking about dawn coming, not a physical dawn, but a spiritual dawn. If you're like me and you like to rise fairly early in the day, you get to see the sun coming up on a regular basis. For the rest of you, you think it's always there. But trust me, it rises in the morning, and that's what the entrance of Jesus, God in human form, is described as here in this song, by which the dawn will visit us from on high to shine on those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. What beautiful words they are. When Jesus, of course, was born and then fully grown into an adult, on one occasion he actually described himself as the light of the world. How wonderful is light? How beautiful is sunshine? We saw it yesterday. The beauty of Melbourne is that you can use air conditioning one day and heaters the next. Tonight we're having soup for dinner. Yesterday it was salad. I went to pick up my mother-in-law yesterday. My in-laws were here last night in our Saturday evening gathering, and they've just arrived from Northern Ireland. And I had to pick my mother-in-law up from somewhere yesterday in Blackrock, and so I drove her home along the bay, and I said to her, "How beautiful is this sunny day, and how lovely does the sea look?" And she said this little quote, which sounded stunning in an Irish accent, and I'll do my very best to emulate it. "When the sun is shining, even a dirt track looks good." I thought, that's gold right there. Now, I don't know if it's an Irish proverb or if it's just something she thought up on the spot, but how true that is. When the sun is shining, everything kind of looks good. Of course, the main source of light is the sun. The stars provide a little bit of light at night, but the main source of light that we enjoy on planet Earth is because of the sun. The sun shines on things, and then the things that we see either absorb the light or reflect the light. So when you're looking at, say, the leaves of a tree, most of them are green because they don't absorb green on the spectrum, they reflect it. So when we see a tree, we see green. It's absorbing all the other kind of light, and we just see the green on the spectrum that is reflected to us. It comes into our eye, it hits the lens, it goes to the back of the eye, which I believe is the retina. I actually know quite a lot about eyes because I enrolled in an eye school once. I was one of the pupils there. They're telling me my jokes are actually getting cornier. But anyway, it goes to the back, and then the optic nerve, actually your eye doesn't see anything. It just is this little kind of camera, and the optic nerve then takes it into the back of the brain and then turns the whole thing the right way up, because it actually hits the back of the eye upside down, and which would be weird, right? If we actually saw everything like that, you'd have to turn on your head to see everything right. And then it sends the whole picture to the brain and it registers, of course, all in a split second. That's how amazing it is. But if it wasn't for light, none of that could take place. Without light, you can't see anything. It's like going to the toilet at night and you just hope that everything is as it should be in the house, and especially when you've got kids or a wife who leaves cupboard doors open and drawers open, that things can be a little weird and uncomfortable and painful in the middle of the night when you can't see anything. When light is there, it's wonderful. When I was 8 years old, I started reading my grandma's Bible that she'd passed to my dad, and my dad had passed on to me, and this is it here. It's very, very old. It's actually over 100 years old. The cover is coming off it, and it's falling to bits, and I brought it here in a snap-lock bag tonight because it's so very valuable. But my dad's mum, Marjorie Dawson, has signed it here on the 18th of January, 1915. She passed away a few years ago at 101, and I led her to Jesus when she was 80, but that's another story. And then she passed it on to my dad, and he signed it here, Peter J. Buckingham, on the 6th of October, 1941. He was 11 years old. And then he gave it to me, and I've signed it here, the name that I used for the first 12 years of my life, which is my first name, Hugh Buckingham, the 1st of April, 1967. I changed my name when I was 12, when I started high school, actually, because back in those days, Hugh was not cool. It was before Hugh Jackman. And so I changed it to Robert, my middle name. Even to this day, when I travel, I have to travel under my first name because that's what my passport shows. And particularly when I go to Asian countries, they look down at my name and then they look up at me and they're really, really struggling to know how to pronounce H-U-G-H, because Hugh is actually not the first thing you think of. And so then they look at it and they go, hello, Mr. Hug. Or the other one I get quite a lot is Mr. Huge. I just give them a huge hug and everything is fine. So this is my grandma's Bible. And when I was about 8 or 9 years of age, I decided that I was going to read the Bible from cover to cover. So to do that, you really have to start at the beginning, so the book of Genesis. And so I started Genesis chapter 1 and I got all the way through to Genesis chapter 2. Because it made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. And I put the Bible aside and I didn't read it for another 10 years. Through my teenage years, I decided to become an atheist. I didn't believe in God at all. To me, Jesus was just a swear word. And I kind of felt sorry for his sad followers. But then I had an experience at the age 19 when all of that started to change. I was hitchhiking around Australia, doing some traveling, working on the way. I was picked up in northern New South Wales by a truck driver. And 2 hours later, we were involved in a head-on collision with another truck. The two guys in the other truck both lost their lives. One died straight away and one died. I watched him die on the road about 5-10 minutes later. After I got out of hospital, I went and stayed with this truckie and his wife and family in Sydney. And they had just become Christians just a few months before. And over the next few weeks, as I stayed with them and as I recovered from my injuries, they talked to me. But more important than any words that they said, it was the life that they lived. And it wasn't a perfect life by any shape or form. I mean, this guy was a typical down-to-earth Aussie truckie. When he told me the Christian message, he told me it with expletives. And that's just what I needed to hear. He told me how blank, blankety, blank, blank great Jesus was and the whole deal. I didn't know Christians weren't supposed to swear. I'm like, yeah, this is great. And so it was through them that I decided that I had been wrong to be an atheist, and I started to believe in God. And at the age of 19, I chose to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And I picked up the Bible and I started to read it. And it's amazing how it had improved over a decade. It was so much better. But had this book changed? No, I had changed. What had happened? The light had been turned on. and I could see clearly now. The rain had gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Ooh. Gone are the dark days that had me blind. Come on, join in. It's gonna be a bright, 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 sunshiny day. Beautiful. Give yourselves a hand. It's fantastic. And you know what God did for me? He can do for you when you choose to become a follower of Jesus Christ, because He is the light of the world who came to shine on those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the paths of peace. And once His light is shining in us and on us, just like the sun shining on the moon, His light shines and reflects from us to other people. That's why Jesus told His followers, "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed high on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father." Choosing to follow Jesus isn't a one-off event just between you and Him, but rather it's a life that is dedicated to doing good, to making this world a better place. I mean, what's the purpose of light if all we ever do is shine it in each other's eyes? And it's a sad day if the church becomes like that. That's why the people who make up this community, Bayside Church, spend their time, their finance, their efforts, their energy on things like feeding the hungry, helping the homeless, visiting those who are sick or in prison, caring for the orphans and the widows, being company for the lonely, and including those who are marginalized either by society or by the church or both, to shining a light into the darkness of other people's lives. The best present you can give this Christmas is the gift of yourself to God, and then He will give you the gifts of light and life and so many other things, and then the ability to shine your light by living a life of goodness that is expressed toward other people. Amen.